the Titans have numerous remaining needs despite a very active free agency. What are the biggest needs remaining? How are they going to attack them? What players are left in free agency? And how might their draft plans be altered by the players they've already signed? We're going to break all of that down now. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver. With me as always is Justin Mello. And like I mentioned, today we are going to talk about the biggest remaining needs on this Titans roster after a week and a half or so of free agency, not quite a week and a half here. Let's get into this. But first, let me tell you about Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. If you need some booze, if you need to stock up on drinks, head over to Sinker's Beverages or Bluegrass Beverages. Or if you don't feel like leaving your house, maybe call Uber Eats. Get Uber Eats up going. Sinker's Beverages will deliver what you need right to your door. But if you do stop by, they've got a massive walk-in beer fridge that you're going to want to check out. And be sure to sign up for the In Crowd. The link is in the description of this episode. Be sure to sign up for the In Crowd for exclusive offers and updates you don't want to miss. Justin, how is it going today as we talk about the Titans' biggest remaining needs?
Doing well. I think after this episode, I'm going to need some beverages from Sinkers and Bluegrass because there's a lot of needs on this team, both on offense and defense, in my opinion. And the only way to forget about it is to drink myself into oblivion.
Yeah. Or just to have your glass ready to toast the next time the Titans sign a player so you can celebrate with a drink from Sinker's Beverages. But let's get into this. So as we sit here recording this on Tuesday afternoon, you listen to this on Wednesday morning. Hopefully we don't miss anything in the next few hours here. But as we record this, the Titans reportedly have $46.4 million remaining in 2024 cap space. Now that does not include Nick Folk's contract or Sadiq Charles' contract. Folk signed a one-year $3.755 million deal. Sadiq Charles, 1 year up to $2.5 million. We don't necessarily know how those break down in terms of guarantees. If there's void years, I very highly doubt there's void years or incentives that are not likely to be earned, NLTE, that would count against the cap. Maximum, you're talking about a $6 million-ish. So the Titans have over $40 million in cap space. This also does not include the contract of defensive tackle Sebastian Joseph Day, who the Titans signed on Tuesday. So depending on what his contract is, it's around, the Titans are going to have around $40 million remaining here in cap space with which to attack the rest of free agency. The thing about having that much money is there's not a ton of players out there that are going to command contracts that are going to eat up even a big chunk of this money or small. I mean, small chunks of this money will be taken by the remaining free agent signings. Of course, you got to account for the draft class, about $9-10 million set aside for that. Got to account for the random player that becomes available in June, a la DeAndre Hopkins last year. Although I don't think you can count on signing a player like that, but you have an emergency portion of your cap saved, set aside, ready to pounce if need be. I'm not saying that will be the case, but I do know that that's how Rand Carthon will want to operate with this cap, will want to save probably $20 to $25 million. But that still leaves you with about $20 million worth to sign guys here in free agency. So who are the guys that they might even spend that money on, Justin? Who are the biggest remaining players out there? Well, let's start with the biggest remaining needs. And I think when we're talking remaining needs,
Can I just make a quick note? Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you said $20 million. That's a lot of money when you look at the way these contracts are being structured nowadays. I just want to make sure our listeners, our fans, know that because, like, what's Tony Pollard's cap at? $3.5 million this right. year, I think, and he signed $8 million per year. Like we talked about the DJ Reader contract on yesterday's episode, like a lot of money, but it's like a $5 million cap hit this year. So $20 million is a lot. Right. When you factor in how these contracts are structured, there's a lot of talented players you could add for a $20 million cap hit.
Right.
Like, isn't Calvin Ridley's cap hit like 12
yeah,
this year? And
exactly.
That's a 4-year, $92 million contract, $23 million per year average. So $20 million in unused money is like 3 or 4 good, really good players.
Exactly. Which those guys are not left on the free agent market. Now,
right.
We can talk about trades here. I think we're going to touch on that in a little bit, but after we talk about available players in free agency. But for context, the Titans had about, what, $30 million entering free agency last year. They signed Azeez Al-Shaair, Sean Murphy Bunting, Daniel Brunskill. I mean, they signed a bunch of guys in free agency last year that were difference makers, not to huge contracts, but they made all that work, had the rookie money, had the money left over for DeAndre Hopkins. So they were able to make a lot of moves with that amount of money. And, you know, that's not counting all the stuff they've already done. So let's get into it. Biggest remaining needs. I think you got to start here with left tackle. Titans do not have a player capable of playing left tackle on the roster right now. I'm talking about as a starter. I'm talking about as a reliable backup. They do not have a left tackle. To me, the holes on defense are what they are. We talked about them a lot on yesterday's pod. Of course, there are major holes on defense, but on offense, to me, this year is all about setting up Will Levis for success, finding out if he is your true franchise quarterback that you can build around. And they've done a little bit of that. They added Lloyd Cushenberry at center. That's definitely going to help Will Levis. They added Calvin Ridley, obviously, huge addition at wide receiver. No doubt that will help Will Levis. Tony Pollard comes in to help carry some of the weight from Tajay Spears, obviously, as a receiving back and a guy who's great in pass protection. He's going to help Will Levis. They need to continue that trend. They need a left tackle, someone who is an above average starter or, God forbid, an elite player potential, like Joe Alt, for example. But the Titans did make some sort of movement towards left tackle here, we think. They met with Andres Pete, former New Orleans Saints first-round pick of 2015, has spent his entire career in New Orleans, has played mostly guard in his career. He has over 4,000 snaps at the guard at the left guard position. He does have almost 2,000 snaps at the left tackle position, including over 700 snaps at left tackle last year. Saints beat writers, guys in the media who cover the Saints, said Andres Pete was their best left tackle last year. Look, he only allowed 2 sacks last season. That, I mean, he's not a great player. You look at his PFF grade and you think, man, this guy is average at best. Andre Dillard allowed 12 sacks last year. So if you think
Andre Dillard allowed 2 sacks while we were recording this episode.
Like, you talk about the Dennis Daly nightmare, the Andre Dillard nightmare, the rotational players that were shoved in at left tackle after Andre Dillard was benched last year, nightmare. The Titans could do a whole lot worse at left tackle than Andres Pete. He's, you know, older. I think, what is he, 30 years old now? He's like, that's not old for offensive linemen. It's old for, you know, a running back, whatever. But it's not like he's necessarily a young player. This isn't you sign him to a 5-year deal and he's your fix at left tackle. But he's definitely a guy who, if you're the Titans, you're planning to draft a tackle at number 7 overall, Joe Alt, for example, and you want to make sure, no matter what happens, come week 1, you at least have a serviceable starter that you can play at left tackle if Joe Alt is not ready, if you suffer an injury in training camp, if you suffer an injury at some point during the season and you need to stick a left tackle in there that's not going to blow up your entire offense. I think Andres Pete is a great candidate for that. Like I said, he played over 700 snaps at left tackle last year and only allowed 2 sacks. Again, his PFF grades will not wow you. They are average at best. I think that's what he is. He's average at best as a starter. But put him under Bill Callahan's tutelage. Play him next to Peter Skoronski, who's going to be a great guard with Lloyd Cushenberry at center. I think you could do a whole lot worse, especially when you look at who's out there on the free agent market still left. So I think the Titans would be wise to go ahead and sign Andres Pete, shore up your left tackle position in terms of insurance and depth, and then still be positioned well to draft Joe Alt, number 7 overall. Then you are solidified. Your offensive line, yeah, you have question marks at right guard. You might have a competition there between Daniel Brunskill and somebody. You have question marks at right tackle. You might have a competition there between NPF, Jalen Duncan, maybe Dylan Radins gets thrown in there instead. But with Bill Callahan working the offensive line, with Brian Callahan coordinating the offense, I think you could potentially survive with that group, especially with the huge upgrades you'll have at center and hopefully left tackle. Titans should sign Andres Pete. What do you think?
Well, I want to leave my portion of this conversation a bit more open-ended because I like the visit. I agree they should sign him. He's a better player than a Nicholas Petit-Frere, probably a Jalen Duncan. Like, you're going to improve some portion of your offensive line by adding him, and he's going to push a guy out who is worse than him, right? So I'm in favor. I don't want to be as sure. I'm not saying you're sure, but I don't want to be as sure that they would view him as a left tackle or a band-aid left tackle, because I think you have options and I like that part of it, right? Like, majority of his career guard, as you said, left guard, by the way. So he's not going to play left guard here because, you know, Peter Skoronski, but could he play right guard? Like, could you draft Joe Alt to play left tackle and Andres Pete is your new starting right guard? I don't think switching sides at guard is as difficult as switching sides at tackle, right? Agreed. Like, going from left tackle to right tackle, a bit more of a difference than at guard, right? You know, not as big of a deal from a stance perspective and things of that nature. He was demoted to third team O-line last year during the summer. They thought Trevor Penning, first round bust, was going to be their left tackle. He was not preparing to play left tackle at all. In the previous 5 or 6 years, he had played 50 snaps at left tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was not prepared for that at all. Did it well. Does that mean he could play right tackle? And you got Joe Walt at left tackle and you got Andres Pete at right tackle. Again, he might be a better right. I mean, I know he's a better right tackle than Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty good that he's a better right tackle than Jalen Duncan. Dylan Raiden's probably as well. So I think they have options here, and that's what they're looking for right now. That does it for my thoughts on Andres Pete, but I do want to continue talking about the O-line in general. Let's be honest. It hasn't been the makeover so far we thought it was going to be. One bit, right? I mean, Lloyd Cushenberry, essentially the only starter they've signed. Like you said a couple episodes ago, when Brian Callahan was in, Alex Kappa, and they signed Lael Collins and Ted Karras. We have not seen that at all. I think going into free agency, I'm going to break this down into three tiers. My wish is that they would add three starting caliber offensive linemen this offseason. My realistic expectation was they wouldn't add three. They were not going to do a Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, Lael Collins. My realistic expectation was they would add two starting caliber linemen in free agency. What's happened so far is they've added one.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Cushenberry. And I don't know that Andres Pete makes it two if they sign him. I don't think we should be able to say that with certainty. I meant a bigger, like a Michael Onwenu, like a bigger signing in that first week.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened. So I'm a little concerned about how they've attacked the offensive line. And I think you should be too. I think everyone should be. And you talk about left tackle. It's funny. Maybe I'm too honed in on Joe Alt at number 7 or Olu Fashanu. I'm more concerned about what they're doing at right tackle than left tackle, because I fully expect that left tackle to be drafted at number 7.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying there, and I think that that's definitely possible that they sign someone like Andres Pete to play right guard or right tackle. There is a number of guys still on the market, and I know these guys are not going to be world beaters. They're not going to solidify your position for 10-plus years, but I'm just going to read a list of names and we can talk about them. Josh Jones, who was a former third-round pick of the Cardinals, was traded to the Texans before the start of last season, only played in 5 games for Houston last year, didn't play a ton, has been way below average according just to his PFF grades on offense. I mean, 2023 for Houston in those 5 games, 49.3, 2021 for Arizona, 46.7, 2020 for Arizona, 43.0. But he unlocked some crazy magic in the 2022 season when he graded out a 75.8, 75.9 pass blocking grade. He had a great year that year. He did allow four sacks and 19 hurries that season, allowed 4 sacks in 2021 as well. But for whatever reason, PFF graded him way better in 2022 than in 2021, 2020, or 2023. So just a guy who's on the market, former third-round pick, probably won't be very expensive. And there's a whole list of guys I have here. Trent Brown is still on the market now. He's reportedly visited Cincinnati, but apparently hasn't signed a contract yet, so we don't know what the holdup is there. Mekhi Becton, who was connected to the Titans very early before free agency opened. Tony Pauline said the Titans were in on Mekhi Becton. He hasn't signed anywhere. You have to wonder if maybe he's expecting more money than teams are willing to offer. And a couple other guys. Cam Fleming is available, and Charles Leno, who has been an above-average player in Washington, also available. So multiple guys here on the market, Titans could still make a move, and I think they will, whether it's Pete or one of these other guys. I mean, Trent Brown to me would probably be the best player on this list, although he has injury history. Mekhi Becton has probably the most raw potential, but obviously a huge injury history, some motivational questions. Does working under Bill Callahan get the most out of him kind of question? I don't think any of these guys are signing major contracts, so you don't really need to worry about the money, especially with how much cap space the Titans have. But any of them could be serviceable upgrades over what is currently on the Titans roster, could serve as your starting right tackle, could serve as a swing backup tackle, or a band-aid while you get Joe Alt ready to play, if assuming he is the pick at 7.
Trent Brown's the best one. I bet he lands in Cincinnati. They're a smart franchise. They're a Super Bowl contender. They got a hole at right tackle after losing Jonah Williams in free agency. There's a clear fit, clear need there. There's one in Tennessee too, in my opinion, but I bet Cincinnati, smart franchise, I bet they end up getting that done. Mekhi Becton probably gets the most money out of any of these guys, in my opinion, because you talked about the raw potential. Does he get a Chase Young-like deal? Maybe not that much, but I could see a case where it's like 1 year, $9 million, $10 million for Mekhi Becton. Someone takes a chance on what we said about Chase Young, a chance to get a young player at a premium position and see if you can unlock the potential. I've been very, you know, meh on him this entire time, as you know. I'm worried about some of the background stuff, but Not a whole lot of help on that list. Andres Pete, honestly, might be the one that intrigues me the most, and I don't think that's saying a whole lot.
Yeah, so we'll stand by and see what the Titans do there, but definitely their biggest remaining need. Let's move on to what I think is their next biggest remaining need, and that is inside linebacker. Now, the free agent options are as barren as it gets at inside linebacker. I'm talking about guys you've never heard of. Tyler Matakovich, Neville Hewitt, Shaquille Leonard is beyond washed at this point with the injuries he's dealt with. Quan Alexander, maybe a serviceable player, but getting up there in age. Gerard Davis, I mean, give me a break. Blake Martinez has had some success in his career, but he's 30 years old now. I don't know. And then you're talking about like Jacob Phillips. Who is this? I don't know. Dylan Cole reunion with the Titans. He was with Chicago last season. Some guy named Calvin Munson. And then Zach Cunningham is available. Look, if you go to the free agent page on SpoTrack and you search inside linebacker available status, there are 10 players listed here. That's it. 10 players. Now, obviously, there's more guys than that available, but we're talking about practice squad level players here. The Titans are down to signing washed-ish, over-the-hill type linebacker here in free agency, playing Otis Reese or Jack Gibbons as your starting inside linebacker, or drafting a guy presumably on day three, because you only have a first-round pick and a second-round pick on the first 2 days, and I highly, highly doubt the Titans are prioritizing inside linebacker enough to draft one with a top 38 pick. Then you're talking about your starter at inside linebacker is a day three rookie if you don't sign one of these guys, and if it's not Otis Reese or Jack Gibbons. So the options here are extremely, extremely barren. I am officially emergency signal lights flashing, alarm bells, concerned with what the hell the Titans are doing at inside linebacker.
Well, I've reached a point where I don't think they're going to solve it, right? Like, they're going to do something, presumably, but it's going to not be good, and it's going to be a hole and a weak spot throughout the entire season. I mean, a guy like Gerard Davis and Blake Martinez, like, probably experienced enough to wear the green dot and call the defense, but you're talking about two down backers that can't play in coverage at all. Like, not a lick of it, and are sort of over the hill, slow, kind of washed. Like, but maybe they can come in and call the defense next to Kenneth Murray. Like, I think that's the point we've reached. There are a couple of backers I like in the draft, but again, you're talking about a rookie day three guy that isn't prepared to call a defense in his first year, right? Like, and we'll talk about those types maybe when the draft comes. You know, I can't help myself. Tyrese Knight out of UTEP. Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky is one that I like quite a bit.
Well, there's talk about those guys when the time comes. Proceeds to talk
UCLA
about them
that I
immediately.
Like, kid at Washington. But I'm at a point where I think it's going to be a hole throughout the entire season. And look, they can't fix every hole they have or had, right? I think we have even more of them than we realized. We weren't talking about holes at inside linebacker and edge and D-tackle much before we enter free agency, right? Then Kouakri goes elsewhere.
We were talking about holes at inside linebacker, but we were assuming like, oh, they're going to go sign somebody like Patrick Queen and they're going to bring back Azeez. And they didn't do either of those things. They signed maybe the worst good inside linebacker available in Kenneth Murray. And I call him good because he was a former first round pick. But in terms of like living up to expectations and so far what they've done in their NFL career, like Kenneth Murray, I'm sorry if everyone loves this Kenneth Murray signing and wants to get hyped for it. Like, we've had some YouTube comments that are calling us dumb for being so low on Kenneth Murray. Look, he's been bad most of his career. He's had some good plays. He's had some good games. He had a pretty good game against the Titans last year, actually, when the Chargers came to Nashville. But overall, he's been bad. So you're talking about Jack Gibbons started the season next to Azeez Al-Shaair last year, wore the green dot, is apparently pretty smart.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
What happened?
The Bengals did sign Trent Brown, as I predicted 3 minutes ago. Okay. We're leaving it in because I said they wouldn't let him get out of the building. They're
like
a smart
it.
Franchise. It's a one-year deal for Trent Brown in Cincinnati.
So there you go. Titans miss out on another tackle. The options are drying up there, but back to linebacker. Jack Gibbons started the season last year, wore the green dot for Tennessee, is apparently a very smart player, was a Mike Vrabel guy, we all thought, because Mike Vrabel came up with the Dr. Gibby nickname and everything, but apparently the Titans like him enough to tender him. He signed his tender. He will be back with Tennessee this year. I could definitely see a path where he's starting next to Kenneth Murray on week opening game of the season, week one. And it's like, well, this is what we're dealing with this year. Hopefully the rookie we drafted in the sixth round can get up to speed quickly and start playing by week five. Cause otherwise I don't know what you're doing at this position. I don't think we need to spend more time on it. Cause again, like the free agency options, I don't expect them to sign any of these guys, to be honest. I mean, I think they would rather go into the draft with Jack Gibbons and Otis Reese as your other options and just see what falls to them. And if they can't even get a day three, round four target, then you go back to the free agency well and see if any veterans get released or whatever, because at that point you might as well just stick with your own guy.
I'm high on Otis Reese, by the way. I want to say that. I know, you know, there's such a small sample size, but really like the way he played down the stretch. I am high on him. But again, I think my bigger concern is having a veteran leader in there that can call the defense and get Kenneth Murray to do the right thing on most plays. So I like Kenneth. I like Otis Reese, excuse me, but they don't have that kind of type. And I'm just going to end by saying this, sort of repeating myself, but one final note. I think it's going to be a hole all year long. If there's a couple holes that they don't plug this offseason, because I don't think it's realistic for them to have plugged all of them, I don't really mind that inside linebacker is one of them because it's the non-premium position.
I agree with that. And really quickly on Otis Reese here, PFF graded him out as a 76.9 for the three games he played last season, week 16, 17, 18.
He was flying all around, all over the field.
He was a guy who stood out in preseason too. I don't know if you remember us talking about who's this Otis Reese guy that Mike Vrabel keeps talking about in press conferences, and then we saw him in preseason and he played well. Look, week 17 against Houston, he had an 89.9 grade by PFF. That's 0.1 shy of what they consider elite. 90 is elite on PFF. So that is a really nice grade there. And he was okay in coverage, actually. I mean, he allowed an 89.1 passer rating when targeted, seven catches on eight targets, but very, very minimal yards after catch, 15 total yards after catch on seven receptions allowed. So making the tackle as soon as the guy gets the ball, obviously huge. I agree, there's potential there. I just don't think you can go into a season saying he's good enough that we can count on him, that we don't need to do anything else at the position. Yeah.
Final note, I like to throw our listeners a nugget once in a while, even if it's several months later. You remember I broke a lot of news on Titans cut down day. They never considered cutting him, essentially. Like, that was one I had heard at like 7 in the morning that morning that he had made the team, that he was going to make it. And I didn't break it until really a lot closer to the deadline because, I had a source inside the building with the team and I was like, I was waiting to hear more. Like, it didn't seem definitive to me at the time. But at the end, it sounded like they never even considered cutting him. They liked him so much. They didn't even call him into the office, I don't think, for one of those, like, you've made the team moments. Uh-huh. Like, it was just so obvious.
Assumed. Nice. Well, good for him. And hopefully he can be a contributor because the Titans will need a body.
But again, different staff.
But Rand Carthon's still there, so there's got to be a little bit of overlap. Okay, next position we're going to talk about here is safety. Why safety? Well, the Titans have Amani Hooker and no one else. I mean, Elijah Molden moved to safety last year, played safety in college a little bit, so he was okay as a safety last season, but you'd like a guy there, presumably, that has done it more, that has experience, and that can be a leader on the defense. Which is the whole point of like signing veterans in free agency, is that you're not just drafting a rookie to come in and learn everything, but you're signing someone who understands everything already. Titans reportedly met with Marcus May on Monday. Now, this report of this meeting came out last week, and we never had any confirmation like, oh, Marcus May is in the building meeting with Titans brass now. Like, we didn't get that confirmation. So to be honest, we don't know if this meeting happened. And if it did, he came and left without a contract. Marcus May played four seasons under Denard Wilson with the New York Jets. So if you're wondering, like, why would the Titans be targeting Marcus May when you have guys like Julian Blackman and Justin Simmons available? Well, Marcus May was a very, very good safety when he was playing under Denard Wilson. I think Denard Wilson wants a guy that he can rely on to come in and help teach everyone else what this defense is going to look like, what these coverage rules are going to look like. You know, Denard Wilson being a former DB coach, I'm assuming he's going to have more schemes drawn up for what the coverage is doing versus what the front seven is doing. And obviously he's going to have to cover both now as a defensive coordinator, but just with his background, I think he probably wants somebody that he's familiar with. And that would be why the Titans are targeting Marcus May over a Julian Blackman or a Justin Simmons. Julian Blackman has visited multiple places. There's definitely interest in him from teams around the league. Justin Simmons, on the other hand, Titans reportedly were in on Justin Simmons until Calvin Ridley became available, pivoted to Calvin Ridley, and then decided they couldn't afford him and Simmons. Now, I think looking at their cap situation right now, they absolutely could afford him and Simmons. But for whatever reason, they didn't value Simmons highly enough. I think what's holding up Simmons from signing somewhere right now is that he wants a bigger contract than what teams are willing to offer. I mean, he probably thinks he deserves it as a guy who was second team all pro last year, has been second team all pro, I think, all but 1 year of his career. He is 30 years old now, but it's still playing at a very high level. Like I mentioned before, forced the fifth most tight window throws in his coverage last season of any safety. I would love if the Titans just decided, you know what? We still got $40 million. We haven't spent it where we maybe thought we were going to spend on a Jerome Baker, on a Chase Young, on guys like that. So let's just give the money, put it back into safety, and give it to Justin Simmons. I wouldn't hate that at all. But I also understand if Denard Wilson wants someone he's familiar with in Marcus May. Regardless of what they do, they need to sign somebody, and I really hope it's either May or Simmons.
Well, I'm considerably less concerned about safety than I am linebacker because there are a lot of good options in free agency still. That's not the case at linebacker, as you said. So you talked about Justin Simmons. You talked about Marcus May. Those are two obvious ones. I'd love to see them go get Simmons. I'm on the same page with you. But there are a couple others I wouldn't mind seeing them bring in for a visit. I mean, probably not guys like Jamal Adams or Eddie Jackson. I think they're probably a bit washed. But I look at a guy like Mike Edwards, you know, coming off the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wait, did he not just sign something?
No, he's visited the Buffalo Bills. Ah. I think that's what was out there, but no deal yet as of this recording. 27 years old, young enough, still has some upside. Get in the mix there. You know, Quandre Diggs, a little older, but I think still playing at a high enough level. He's a guy that I would have on my short list. They could bring back a Kayvon Wallace or a Terrell Edmonds to be a back-end rotational guy. We've talked about that a lot. So there are a couple guys. Like, there are we just rounded off literally like five or six guys. Like, go get one of Justin Simmons, Marcus May, Mike Edwards, Quandre Diggs. Like, there are a couple guys
who
help this team.
Micah Hyde, Tracy Walker, Jayron Kearse, Tayshon Gibson, Kareem Jackson. Now, some of these guys are washed and probably
I'm not as high on them. That's why I left them out.
Keanu Neal, Ryan Neal, Ashton Davis, Adrian Amos. I mean, there's names on here that the average fan will recognize.
One of them convert to inside linebacker? I don't think it's without the realm of possibility.
I mean,
I think Keanu Neal played a little linebacker.
Jayron Kearse and Keanu Neal are both guys that have played some linebacker in addition to safety. So maybe you get one of those guys. But I'm with you. There's a lot of options at safety. Just a little concerning from my end that they haven't done anything with Marcus May and they met with him. So maybe they're far apart on money. Maybe there's something in the medicals. Maybe something didn't add up there. But I hope that they do end up signing somebody like that. The last big hole I want to talk about, there's two more and they're both on defense, but another big hole I want to talk about is the cornerback position. We've talked a lot about Roger McCreary and Chidobe Awuzie, as he says to Mike Keith, if you're following along the Titans content, or Chido, as he asked the media to call him, Chido Awuzie. But anyway, Titans have a big hole at the other cornerback spot there, and there are a few names still on the market that are pretty good options. You could take a flyer on a Tre'Davious White, who was one of the best players at his position in the NFL before suffering a few injuries that have been, really set him back. There's an older veteran guy out there like Steven Nelson, who I think I wanted the Titans to sign 4 years ago when he hit free agency.
Remember that.
And then there's a guy I've been talking about since our free agency preview pod, cornerback Akilah Witherspoon, who was drafted by Rand Carthon, or not by Rand Carthon, but when Rand Carthon was director of player personnel in San Francisco, the Niners drafted Akilah Witherspoon. He had a resurgent year last year with the Rams. I still think he's the best fit of the guys that are available on the market. And there's some other guys out there too. Titans missed out on Kendall Fuller, although I don't know if they were ever in on Kendall Fuller, but we assume they might be because of the background with Chris Harris Jr. He signed a pretty cheap contract with the Miami Dolphins, so would have liked the Titans to be in on that, but they weren't. They spent a lot of money on Chidobe Awuzie. And there's still the reports that, you know, Diana Rossini came on the Athletic Football Podcast this week and said the Titans were so close to trading for L'Jarius Sneed, she had the tweet typed out in her drafts ready to go. And she said that those trade talks might ramp up again close to the draft. She said the Titans backed off the Sneed deal for a couple of reasons. One, they realized they were in on Calvin Ridley and they wanted to put the money there. And two, that L'Jarius Sneed wants to reset the cornerback market and sign a record-setting contract for his position. In addition to giving up draft capital, you also have to sign Sneed to what's being reported that he's asking for $22 million a year. That's a ton of money. But as we sit here and talk about the Titans having tons of cap space left and no big players that they could sign still because of just what the market is like on free agency, the big player you could spend all that money on is L'Jarius Sneed. And you talked about Calvin Ridley, $23 million average annual value, but a cap hit of what, $13 million this season?
Something like that.
You could fit L'Jarius Sneed into a similar structured deal. Granted, your cap hits the next 3 years are going to be huge, but this season, it's not going to be as much as it sounds when you read the initial value of the contract. I think there's still a chance that, you know, as we get closer to the draft, the free agency options dry up, the Titans really set their draft board and know which players and positions they're going to be targeting, that they could go back to Kansas City and try to get this deal done and give Snead the money he's asking for. Look, it's not my money. He wants money. He's one of the best corners in the league. A true shutdown number one guy that would make this defense, this secondary at least, closer to the elite tier than the trash that they've been for years. I'm in. Go trade for Snead. But if they don't, there are some options on the market that we still like.
Well, I'm with you. I'm not going to add a ton to the Snead thing because I think we've covered it to death. But as long as he's still out there, I'll say this. As long as he's still out there, I believe there's an outside chance that the Titans are involved. So until that situation reaches its conclusion, maybe his asking price goes down. Maybe more importantly, maybe the Kansas City Chiefs asking price goes down, because the longer this drags out, the worse it gets for both of them. So, and maybe that plays into the Titans' hand. So we'll see what happens there. There are a couple of guys you mentioned in free agency. Akello Witherspoon, I think, is one that's intriguing. Bounce back year with the Rams, like you said. I'm also intrigued by the draft. You know, I think the fourth round, if their picks stay where they are, that's an interesting spot for a guy like Cam Hart out of Notre Dame or Melton out of Rutgers, who had a crazy combine. I don't know if he'll last that long anymore, but there are some guys that intrigue me there. But I do think they need to add a veteran that can play, because you're not drafting a fourth rounder, I hope, to start outside for you immediately. So exactly. They've got to do something here. There are, the options are, you didn't mention Xavier Howard. I don't think he's still out there as well. That's put him in the same bracket with Tre'Davious White, right? An aging corner off injuries that used to be a premier player at that position. So a couple things they could do. Again, a lot better group than what there is at linebacker. So I expect them to do something at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Another position I expect them to do something at some point is on the edge. Now, we talked about this a little bit on the last episode, how this isn't the biggest hole. And compared to the other positions on defense, it's not a hole. But it is a need. It's not a hole, but it's a need. I think there is a difference. We can be nuanced here on the Music City Audible podcast.
You've got more faith in Rashad Weaver than I do.
I don't have any faith in Rashad Weaver. I think he is, at best, a replacement level rotational player. And I think Arden Key is a guy that's going to make some plays and is also going to be invisible for long stretches of time. Don't get me wrong. I do not think the Titans are set at edge, but they don't have a glaring hole where you're going to be playing a UDFA level player if you don't sign or draft somebody there. They have players that can play, but they need better ones. Like, don't get it twisted. This is definitely still a need. And some of the guys that are on the market, I mean, there are still good players available at this position. Now, the Titans missed out on Chase Young. Would have been awesome to add a guy with his level of upside, but he also would have come with a lot of concerns. Some of these other guys don't come with as many concerns, but they don't have nearly the upside that Chase Young has. Those guys include Emmanuel Ogba. Now, way back in time when J-Rob drafted Kevin Dodd, 33 overall, it was rumored that he wanted to draft Emmanuel Ogba, who went 32nd overall, one pick before Kevin Dodd, and this totally threw J-Rob's plans out of whack. He panicked and took Kevin Dodd because he was, the next best edge rusher they had graded. So Emmanuel Ogba finally hits free agency. Here, will it finally be time for the Titans, who have wanted him since 2016, to bring him in? We will see how that goes. A few other guys available include Derek Barnett, local guy, played at University of Tennessee.
I liked him so much coming out way back when.
I did too, and he was very productive for the Eagles, not as productive for Houston Texans last season, but I think a guy that can help if he's in the right role. And I think with the Titans, you have enough, like I said, bodies there, not necessarily all great productive bodies, but bodies, enough bodies there that he could be a productive player for Tennessee. Carl Lawson is back on the market now. Overlapped with Brian Callahan in Cincinnati for a little bit before Lawson went and signed a deal with the New York Jets and then never really played because he tore his ACL, and the Jets had a lot of bodies at that position. And he's a guy that I would take a chance on, again, as a rotational edge rusher kind of guy. And a last one I'll mention here is Mike Dana. Who do you like at edge here for the Titans? And is there a chance that they sign one of these guys, or is this a position? I mean, some people are starting to speculate the Titans will draft an edge at 7 overall, like Dallas Turner, or I don't really buy into that hype at all.
No.
I think they're definitely going Joe Alt at 7. I'm fully cemented on that. But Titans still need to add some players at the edge position, or at least one player here.
A guy that would intrigue me that and I'm talking a total flyer because he's been derailed by injury the last couple of years is Tyus Bowser from the Baltimore Ravens. Still like 27, 28 years old. Denard Wilson will know him. Even if he didn't play last year, he'll know him from being inside the building. I honestly, I think at this point, I would settle for just a base end type that can play on early downs. And I think there are shrewd additions to be made there. Mike Dana is my favorite that you mentioned from the Kansas City Chiefs. Call me crazy or revisionist or whatever. I would have done the deal Houston did with Mario Edwards Jr. for a one-year deal and brought him back and let him play base. You know what I mean?
He had 6.5 sacks last year, 5 sacks the year before that. Like, he's not a double-digit sack guy, but
produces,
he's
right?
a quality player.
Like, was great in Tennessee, was good in Seattle last year. He's a good base end type. Angelo Blackson is out there. He's carved out a little career for himself as a base end. Like, I would honestly settle for one of those guys, knowing that Arden Key is going to supplant them on obvious pass rushing downs.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we'll see if the Titans make a move. I'm kind of holding out hope for Derek Barnett myself, personally. But
that would be a great one. I like that a lot.
Let's talk here as we wrap this episode up about how the free agency signings have impacted the Titans' draft plans. So before free agency started, I think you and I sat here and said, if I was a GM, philosophically speaking, the way to attack this is address all your defensive needs in free agency, plug your holes on offense, but draft for offensive, young offensive talent, guys at the wide receiver position, tackle position, the premium positions that are going to cost big money contracts. Titans did a little bit of both here. They signed big money deals on both sides of the ball. They didn't attack necessarily one side and like fix it per se and leave the other side for the draft. So I think we've been talking about offensive tackle and wide receiver at pick 7 and 38 for 4 months now. I don't think that's the case anymore. And I'm not saying it's definitely not the case, but it's not a lock anymore. I do think offensive tackle in those first two picks is gonna happen. And like I just said, I think it'll be Joe Alt. But I think the door is open at 38 for that to be a cornerback, for that to be a defensive tackle, for that to be a linebacker even, because they don't have a starting linebacker right now. I do think there's still a chance that it's a wide receiver, depending on how the board falls. I also think, you know, we've talked a lot about this, that they could trade back from that spot. But I think the conversation of offensive tackle, wide receiver, or wide receiver, offensive tackle is as dead as it's ever going to be right now. And the door is definitely open that they draft defense, a lot of defense in this draft, maybe as early as 38. They got 6 picks on day 3. You can find, maybe not in this draft class, but you can find starting caliber safeties, linebackers, defensive tackles on day 3. They got 6 picks there. I think they spend the majority of those picks on defensive players.
I think they do too, and try to strike gold with them. I agree with you. Look, I'm not saying receivers definitely off the board at 7 or 38, only because Brian Callahan likes them so much, and I think you still need a long-term X.
You do.
To replace DeAndre Hopkins. But it's obviously, it's not as set in stone as it once was. They can go corner. They can go linebacker. They can go edge. They can go D-tackle. Like, I think they have a lot of options because they've got a lot of holes, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
But I'm with you. I still think it's going to be a tackle at 7. 38 could still be a receiver. It could be a trade down, but it could also be like a corner because that's a premium position that they have a hole at right now.
Right, and we're going to do a post-free agency mock draft probably next week. We'll give the Titans a few more days to sign guys, but we are going to do a post-free agency mock draft soon where we're going to address as many needs as we can. All right, that'll do it for this one. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks everyone watching on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to the Music City Audible channel. And a quick reminder, this episode is brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. And hey, be sure to sign up for the in crowd there with Sinker's Beverages. Get exclusive offers, access to a lot, and that's the only way you can get notified of the 440 draft party that will be announced later this month or early next month for the annual draft party that they do with for Sinker's Beverages. So the link to sign up to the in crowd is below in the description. Check that out and make sure you head over to Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. So all right, that'll do it, Justin. That'll do it, everyone. Thanks for tuning in again. We'll be back later. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.